Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University of Malta. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing the many research projects undertaken by the university's academics from all fields of study. I'm delighted to have with me in the studio today on Research Matters, Dr. Maria Attard. Dr. Attard is the new director, will be the new director and vice chair of the Institute for Sustainable Development, which will be launched in the coming weeks. She's a lecturer in geography with the specializations in the application of geographic information systems and transport geography. She has been the academic coordinator of the university's Geographic Information Systems, GIS, laboratory since 1997 and has taught the discipline across a number of faculties, as well as raised awareness of GIS as a decision support tool amongst government and the private sector. She's also the coordinator of the annual summer school in GIS, organized in collaboration with leading foreign institutions. After completing her doctoral research at UCL, she was also involved in a number of national projects related to land transport. She represented the transport sector on the National Commission for Sustainable Development, as well as in other local and international committees dealing with sustainable mobility research and policy. She's published in the areas of transport as well as GIS education. In 2008, she was awarded an International Educator Award in GIS by the ESRI. In 2009, she was elected Vice President of Eurogeo, the European Association of Geographers. Welcome, Dr. Attard.
Thank you.
Well, before we talk about the new institute, which is a very exciting initiative, and some of the research which you've undertaken in these last years, perhaps we could say a word about the discipline of geography, because perhaps it is coming back into its own recently, in recent years, as a very important discipline. But there were a number of years when it had been marginalised a little in the schools. Am I right in saying that?
Yes. Unfortunately, geography was, and to many in the minds, it still is a discipline which is linked to primary schools and the idea of maps, capital cities. But really and truly, geography has, through its many sub-disciplines, developed and specialized in many aspects. And what sets geography apart from other disciplines is obviously its spatiality, its understanding and appreciation of the environment, not only in terms of its physical characteristics to a certain extent, that's environmental studies and that's science, but really is the ability of a geographer to look at the various aspects of the environment, the urban area, for example, or the rural area, or the physical area, or the society, depending on which aspect you're looking at of geography, putting together all the aspects and see how, over space, these multitude of issues, physical elements, actually interact. And for many, that is not something which is easily understood. For many, geography is literally the cultures of people. But if you take beyond, if you start from there, you start from understanding the place. I think it's a very important element for people all worldwide to understand where they are, the place they live in, the circumstances they are faced with every day. There were various incidences over the past 2-3 years, even more, 2004, where understanding and knowledge of basic geographic concepts have saved lives or killed, in the case of, say, the tsunami and the tsunami events of, I think, 2004, and the hurricanes in the US. In 2004, we had the case of the little girl that saved the lives of the people on a particular beach because she recognized the signs of a tsunami. And the second one was Katrina, when a lot of people actually died following their lack of knowledge of their geographic space. They had no idea where they had to go to get away from the low-lying areas in New Orleans. So a lot of people actually were stuck on the motorway because that was the only place they knew that could safely take them away, and they ended up
drowning.
So there are many issues that link geography or the understanding of geography to present-day phenomena. And most of the phenomena that we deal with today, most of the crises that are actually leading the world politics, whether it is climate change, whether it is waste, whether it is transport and mobility, these are all global issues, but they all have a very, very geographic basis to them, because they all happen and are affected by space, hence geography.
Yes, I'm always amused when I with friends, or I have a habit of testing the wind and to see where the wind's coming from. And people look at me very strangely, and I say, well, wherever I am, I like to know what direction I'm facing, where I am spatially, north, southeast or west, and I want to know where the wind's coming from. People laugh at me, but it's sort of something that was drummed into us through our geography classes,
yes,
when we were young, and I've sort of carried it on, yes, into adulthood.
It is, and to a certain extent, if you look even at the profile, the student profile over the years here at university, when I was an undergraduate, I graduated in 97. I was the only graduate in geography, and the program hadn't started for very long before. I mean, the geography program at the university started in the early 90s, and geography as a discipline got only its status as a separate discipline, because in my time it was part of the contemporary Mediterranean studies, in 1995. So we're not talking of a long history. However, today, and this is where you see the resurgence, some effects that some teachers have had, good teachers in geography, and you know, it's thanks to them that really the profile has increased. We have the largest student body in the Faculty of Arts. So now we lead the faculty with the number of students that we have.
It's very encouraging.
It's very encouraging. It's very encouraging. When you see particularly how in some countries geography is disappearing, it is being replaced by more generic subjects, and to a certain extent, not much in university, but certainly in secondary schools, it is actually disappearing as a discipline. And I've been involved in a project over the past 6 years, the Herodot Network, which is a thematic network for geography in higher education, and we've been looking at the state of geography. It's part and parcel, really, of the efforts under the Bologna process, of subject-specific exercises to look at the future of the subject. And this is what we found. We found that in some particular European countries, geography is actually on the decline. I went through a lot of work, and we came up with this concept called the GeoCube to actually promote geography. And the GeoCube is based on the Rubik's Cube, and it has obviously all the sides covered and all the sub squares, little tiny boxes with topics that geography deals with, and in each one of these topics, the GeoCube, I mean, doesn't define what, I don't know, floods are, but it tells people what geographers contribute to floods, and it is this interdisciplinarity skill that geographers tend to take with them when they go out in the workplace.
Yes, I think that's one of the fascinating things about it. I mean, before you mentioned also sub-disciplines, apart from the interdisciplinarity in general, now there are these sub-disciplines, and the new Institute for Sustainable Development is developing or growing,
yes,
out of one of these,
yes,
sub-disciplines, but then it's interdisciplinary itself.
Yes, yes. I mean, the Institute was an opportunity, is really an opportunity. In many universities, interdisciplinarity is always a big scary thing. So as geographer, and myself, I mean, when I started here at university, I wasn't with the geography department, really and truly. I was more closely related to the IT faculties at the time. So my involvement here at university has always been with the faculty of IT, the faculty of economics, the faculty of architecture, biology, geography, archaeology. It's always been in places and around, but somehow the opportunity, the formal opportunity for interdisciplinarity was never there. Now with the new institute, we have that opportunity because one of its main objectives is to encourage interdisciplinary research. And obviously under the umbrella of sustainable development,
many things can actually sit in.
But then again, interdisciplinarity gives us that opportunity. We also have other aims within the institute remit that look at the adoption of technology, which is very important. The deployment of information systems like GIS, geographic information systems, which has taken the world, over. And now, it's involved in all aspects of decision support, simply because, and I'm not saying this because I'm a geographer.
No bias.
Geography is everywhere, and anything we do and anything we study is happening over space. So to a certain extent, it is central to be able to analyze trends and look at patterns over space. And GIS through maps, and sophisticated analysis too can help us do that.
In fact, I'm thinking of the famous Google Maps that everyone's very familiar with. And I'm sure that the people who access, all the different millions of people who access Google Maps, do so for absolute myriad reasons.
You can see from some of the things that they actually upload. So I was showing my students 2 weeks ago how Google Earth has now gone into the hassle. It's a hassle, it's a real big hassle, of actually showing the street view 360 degrees of a place. And it's a fantastic tool. You can literally browse and understand an environment and feel safe when you arrive in a place you've never been, simply because, I recognize that building from the street view on Google Earth. And that, with the introduction of what are called the virtual globes, because there are many, not just Google, obviously there's Microsoft and what have you, so there are quite a lot of them. It has given a big boost for the appreciation of maths and, putting things into context. We still have, however, a lot of people who do not appreciate them as a tool for decision support, holding on to old or more traditional methods of analysis and not appreciating as much the power that a tool like GIS can actually provide. And so it's the institute sort of wants to look at projects that specifically deploy, make use of GIS in research.
In fact, that's what I was going to ask you about the institute. We were talking about the aims, the general aims, but also the more specific ones. It's going to be, it's here on campus, therefore there is the educational side, but I'm sure, it goes beyond that.
Yes, yes. One of the remits of the institute is actually to also contribute to the teaching aspect of the university and projects. So what we've already proposed is to have for the first time a dedicated diploma in GIS. The reason being that there are a lot of people who are out there do not possess the qualifications to proceed into an undergraduate degree, simply because they've always been, technicians working on computers or learning the software, but not really appreciating the power of the tool that they're using. So the diploma would give people like that an opportunity to develop themselves, obviously, extend their knowledge about the subject and understand the science behind it, because sometimes we get a feeling, not if it's quite widespread, that GIS, you learn the software and that's it. But really and truly, it's like looking at architects. You can learn AutoCAD or computer-aided design, but it doesn't mean you can, design, because you need to learn, obviously, the art in the case of architecture. With GIS, it's the same. There are many products, there are many tools, there are many software that is, you know, giving you the availability of this. I mean, to a certain extent, you can use Google Earth today to do a nice map, but it doesn't mean that you have the skills or the knowledge to actually use it effectively. So that is one way we want to go. And then there are also the proposals for some postgraduate opportunities, whether by research or by thought. We're looking at, and this is where I bring my own experience and my contacts, we're looking at collaboration with foreign institutions leading in the world. We've already established through the summer school, and we got them also on board in our diploma course for UCL, who is now, I think, the fourth leading university in the world, which is a great contribution to our, you know, to our network. So we hope that we can continue with this collaboration and get them on board also at postgraduate level. So we're looking at that as well. And but then there are projects, events, which we are planning to conduct. We have a very strong element within the objective of the institute to actually look at initiatives, research innovation, business startups, commercialization of research. And within this very, very important objective of the institute, we are looking at bringing the industry closer to the university, or vice versa, really and truly, the university closer to the industry. Not only in trying to get the students who do their research at the university to take up enterprise, go out there and, you know, make it happen, make the research happen, particularly when we're talking of IT, when we're talking of tools. These are things which abroad, these are pushed forward. These are pushed forward to the industry. There are particular departments that look at innovation, and we want to do that. And in order to do that, we need to build very strong links with the industry. And so we will be looking at forming collaborations with industries, support from organizations such as Malta Enterprise, for example, that promote these kind of initiatives. And trying as much as possible, not only to attract quality research within the institute, but also support either through collaborations with the industry or funding other funding mechanisms, the idea of business startups and commercialization.
What would be the industries that would be of particular interest to you? I mean, the one that comes to mind, obviously, tourism, but I'm sure there are
many.
That.
I mean, it's we're looking at, since one of the pillars of the institute is information systems and GIS, one of the industries would be obviously the IT industry. So we'll be looking mostly at partnerships with the telecommunications industries that look up to innovative systems in which planning is made easier, development of networks is made more efficient. So telecommunications, IT in themselves, software development. So those are the initial ones. But then, as you say, the tourism sector, for example, would benefit from looking at sustainability and systems, or sustainability. I know it's using it a bit abruptly and too wishy-washy sometimes, but when you think of a systems approach, when you think of developing methods and tools that help a system to function, whether it is, a tourism industry, or whether it's a hotel, whether it is a chain, whether it's an internal, part of the chain, that is very important. That could be applied to anything, whether it is waste, if we want to talk about sort of more environmental aspects, whether it is land use planning, whether it is transportation. I've been involved in a lot of projects that looked at sustainable mobility, for example. And one of the key elements of sustainable mobility is, or research within this area, is developing tools that help planners predict more effectively, for example, travel behavior. So if we talk of congestion, we talk of management of travel, because we can't build more roads, so we obviously have to manage what we have. And the way to actually look at methods of planning and development is actually through creating tools that helps planners make decisions. And so this is the kind of research that we want to attract. This is the kind of investment that we want to attract to the institute. We want industries to say yes, either because they'll be the beneficiaries of it through, I don't know, professional development to their employees, or because overall they can see the benefit to the nation, to Malta overall, because that is also another key aim of the institute.
One of the things that the present rector is particularly keen on is the idea of giving our students the tools to go out there and be entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. and to take their ideas into the marketplace. And I would imagine that an area such as this would be ideally suited to that kind of development.
In fact, one of the key aspects of the institute, and this is where the events come in really, unless we obviously look at developing particular, for example, master's programs that look at enterprise and innovation, which we know it exists. UCL, for example, have a full program, full department that looks at management and innovation. So we're not very far. We're not very far from there. But until then, we can also envisage events that attract students to listen to entrepreneurs, see what their experiences were, learn, share ideas. And the fact that the institute can act as a, not as a think tank really, but as a, you know, a network of these, this knowledge, either to transfer or to actually, use. I think it's a start. It's a very big start.
And we now have a director of corporate research and knowledge transfer, so hopefully that will be the direction in which our students are going. Going on to your personal research, you're going to be director of this institute, and it's not that somebody got up one morning and said, we'll put Maria Tart in as director. You're obviously there for a reason, because of the research you've done, because of the experience you've had, although you're still very young, but you've obviously had experience. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about what makes a geographer or what makes Maria Tart a geographer. Mm-hmm.
The passion for geography is something you're born with, I think. One of the things that I was quite pleased with when I was approached for this position was that throughout my entire working life, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of different people coming from very, very different backgrounds. And I've always been a big instigator for interdisciplinarity. Why? Well, simply because one of my areas of specialty, well, both of them really, whether it is GIS or land transport, they cannot stand on their own. You know, a transport geographer can't stand on her own and say, okay, this is the way, a whole plan, a whole city should be built. You know, if you're playing on the Sim City, then it's fine. But if you're not, you need the help of land use planners, you need the help of architects, you need the help of engineers. So I think what a geographer contributes to a position like this is the appreciation that it's a teamwork that will eventually make things successful. A lot of sciences, a lot of subjects are very closed in terms of their discipline, and they allow very little interference or integration with other subjects. A geographer, on the other hand, while sticking obviously to the basic elements of geography, space, place, and scale, we tend to overlook what is just geography and look at other disciplines and see how they actually work all together. And that's a very important skill. Obviously, coupled that with a knowledge of GIS and its applications and the experience over the past many years, I won't tell you because I told you I graduated in 97, how you apply GIS, I think that's very, very important. So the knowledge gained from projects, yes, it's very important. I was involved with government for a number of years on the implementation of national projects which related to land transport, so the park and ride, the congestion charging in Valletta, particularly the public transport reform more recently. So there were projects that obviously sort of put my feet on the ground. And
up at the coal face.
Yes, and that's also another important thing. I've been to many academic debates in looking at how to make research relevant. But I've also been in the political arena. And in the political arena, it is unfortunate how much of the research is not even contemplated. You know, getting the usual response like, oh, but you're too academic. And it hurts. Because that either means there's something wrong with the way academia is going, which obviously I don't agree, or else there is a communication barrier between what is being researched and what is actually happening out there to actually support it. And one of the projects that we would like to actually propose for the Institute is actually this, well, building this bridge between research and out there. And obviously one of the things that is most interesting for people out there, whether it is industry, whether it is politicians or policymakers, is obviously information. And here at the university we have huge amounts of information. I've seen people make decisions which could have been supported by research, which exists, has been carried out, and simply because they weren't aware, they would either go abroad, you know, employ foreign consultants, which is sad, because I'm sure a lot of the work would have been able to be carried out here locally with the understanding of the local environment. So one of the things that we want to try and bridge is this link between the university research and the information held within that research and outside, using as a platform GIS. So having all the data mapped, for example, being all available, imagine a Google Earth about Malta with all the data taken from the research at the university. It would be a fantastic tool. There is also research that look at how much information attracts investment, for example. So it could also be a tool for, say, Malta Enterprise to actually attract investment to Malta. If they can understand the demographic patterns, for example, of where the major labor markets are within Malta, it certainly would help investors decide better on what type of investment they want to make in Malta. If they can understand the educational profile, not just as a total and a percentage, but really as a percentage of place, where they are coming from, the trends, because obviously if you study trends over space and time, it is easier for you to make projections in the future.
Well, unfortunately, our time has come to an end. And this is a fascinating subject, and we're all looking forward to seeing how this institute develops. And thank you, Dr. Maria Attard, for coming to talk to us about it today.
Thank you.